There is someone scratching softly. Written by Dreamer in Silico. Read by Mistborn Hero. A Hannibal and Wayward Children series crossover. Featuring Hannibal Lecter and Jack Walcott. Tagged for just two monsters taking each other's measure. Hannibal would love her so much. Tell me I'm wrong. Summary. Jacqueline Walcott's first therapy session with Hannibal Lecter. It is a very good thing she is his patient. It is a better thing she won't be his patient for long. Jacqueline. As expected, there is a young woman in his waiting room. Much less expected, she is immediately interesting to him. She is dressed in a manner that most teenagers, indeed, on most other people, would be an affectation. Trade her trousers for skirts, and she would give the impression, perhaps, of a Victorian-era librarian, though the details don't seem to be strictly trying to replicate clothing of that or any specific era. Complete with a smile, round spectacles, and a cravat. Her gloved hands are folded primly in front of her. This he takes in at a glance, along with the distinct impression that none of this is either affectation or devotion to historical fashion, but simply how she is most comfortable for reasons currently inscrutable to him, but likely entirely obvious and practical to her. "Jack, please, no matter what my mother says," she replies, turning to face him fully and giving him a look that is wary but curious, and Hannibal has always been quite happy to work with curious. "Jack," he amends with a smile and a tilt of his head. Normally, he would extend a hand to shake, but in this case, he decides against it. "I'm Dr. Lecter. Please, come in." The impression of her discomfort increases when he holds the door open for her to step past him, but he is amused to note her immediate interest when she steps fully into his office. She lingers just inside the door, eyes roving hungrily over the bookshelves and the mezzanine and the sculptures and other curiosities lining the walls. "Not what I'd have expected from a therapist's office," she muses, almost to herself.
"What would you have expected?"
he asks gamely, guiding her with a gesture to one of the paired chairs he uses for sessions.
"Something more sterile, or something soothing, or something most people," he hears, "normal people, would find soothing."
"One of the benefits of being in private practice is the leeway to arrange the space to one's own specifications."
He takes the seat opposite from her, crossing his legs and clasping his hands in his lap. Jack is sitting somewhat stiffly upright in her own chair, avoiding the arm's rests as if she's concerned about how many other people might have touched them, which, despite Hannibal's meticulous cleaning of the things after someone particularly snotty has occupied that spot, he understands entirely.
"Now, why don't you tell me a bit about why you are here?"
Her smile is a humorless flash, there and gone in a heartbeat. "I am here because one of the partners at my father's firm suggested therapy was the done thing when one doesn't know what to do with one's children. And our parents certainly weren't going to have any better ideas on their own."
"Our?"
"I have a twin sister, And yes, her name is Jill. She is seeing a therapist closer to where we live, who only had room in her schedule for one of us.
That other therapist might also have been reluctant to see siblings simultaneously.
Hannibal notes aloud, though privately, he wishes the Walcotts had called him first. He would have definitely taken them both, as his nose for an interesting story is at least as good as his nose for blood, and if he's lucky, perhaps even both are in play here. Jack looks as though she hears what he hasn't said, anyway, and trusts him the less for it. Fascinating.
Well, Jack, as you are currently my patient, and your parents are not, it is not my job to help them know what to do, with you and your sister, or otherwise. It is my job to help you, however I may.
All right, she says, her demeanor softening again, very slightly, though it shifts again a moment later to bemusement as she spreads her hands in her lap. I'm not really sure how this works, though, to be honest. I looked at some books on psychology in the library recently, and they were interesting. That's not a branch of science I have any experience with, but it wasn't a very useful approach to preparing for therapy, I think. He smiles, charmed, and his curiosity is starting to border on suspicion, while only a minority of teenagers would have direct experience with mental health services. In his experience, essentially all of them have preconceived notions about it by her age, and yet, Jack seems to have few to none of those, and she went to books rather than the internet as her first source of information.
When a young person, such as yourself, comes to therapy, it usually follows either prolonged social or behavioral difficulties, or some sort of traumatic event.
He offers, seeing Jack's lips twitch, though not all the way to a smile this time.
In the case of the former, a therapist will try to understand what is causing those difficulties and find viable solutions to them. In the latter, we work to offer support and assistance in understanding and processing the feelings associated with the trauma. He pauses, then raises his eyebrows.
The fact that you and your sister have both been sent to therapy at the same time, with no documented history of such interventions in the past, is rather suggestive to me.
Yes, I suppose so.
Would you say that you have recently experienced a traumatic event, then? And perhaps, if I may expand my guess, your parents are out of their depths regarding their ability to assist you in handling it.
Her expression twists in black humor, eyes sharp and derisive and nearly hateful in a way that Hannibal recognizes intimately, because it is one he so long ago taught himself how to hide. They've been out of their depth since we were born. That's nothing new. But yes, I would say I've recently experienced a traumatic event, or several, depending on how you categorize them, but I haven't the slightest idea how to explain it in a way that you'll understand, or even believe me, and even less idea how you would go about helping. I am not delusional. She spits the word. Hannibal gives her a level look.
I think you may be very surprised as to what I am willing to believe, and am able to understand. I have led an interesting life, and have, in my own experience, a much higher tolerance for the unexpected than most.
Jack regards him with an expression that's almost but not entirely smoothed back over. That sharpness is still there in her eyes, calculating, and he simply waits for her to finish her assessment. This would be much less tedious if I didn't have to talk around it, she allows, after a long moment of silence, and he gives her an encouraging nod. I need you to promise me, though, that if you don't believe me, you'll do me the courtesy of not trying to convince me it didn't happen. That would be very tedious for both of us.
I promise. He agrees easily, then adds with more weight when she gives him a skeptical look. And I always keep my promises, Jack.
That statement should be more ominous than reassuring, really, given his history, but she seems to take it for the brutal truth that it is, because she nods once, solemnly, then fixes her gaze just past his shoulder as she peacefully steals herself. There is a book. I think the sort of thing one normally reads as a child, but our parents didn't approve of. She trails off with a snort. Anything interesting? I only found it recently. It is something I could picture our grandmother having read to us, eventually, if she had stayed. Hannibal knows what book she's about to reference before she says it, and he knows exactly what sort of person he has in his office. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Do you know it? Quite well, yes. He smiles calmly and waits. He would reassure her by saying it outright before she did, if he had to, but it is not his inclination to be kind in that way. Jack Walcott clearly does not expect kindness from this or any other world. At any rate, she does not disappoint him. On a rainy day, when we were 12, my sister and I went to play in the attic, our grandmother's old room. We didn't come down again until 5 years later. She glances at him, obviously trying to gauge his reaction, and he doesn't give her anything to go on but another question. And where were you in the interim? The Morse. Her voice on the name is suffused with longing, with that sense of home that only a few people will ever truly know, but fortunately for them both in that moment, Hannibal Lecter is one of those people. Under the blood-red moon, between the sea and the mountains, I don't know whether the Moors make monsters or just find them, but we both are now, if we weren't before. I was apprenticed to Dr. Bleak, who lived in the windmill, opposing the master's protectorate, and Jill was to be the master's daughter. We found the door at the bottom of the stairs in our grandmother's custom trunk.
Were you sure?
He asks finally, quietly, and sees her eyes fly back to his, wide and shocked and hopeful, because she knows he isn't asking if she was sure that's where she was. He hasn't met many of her kind, children who wandered through doors to other worlds and then eventually returned, but he has met enough to know that the admonition is always the same. Be sure.
I don't know whether my world makes monsters or just finds them, either.
Liar, liar. You were already a monster, but it taught you how to sharpen your teeth so exquisitely.
But I am no stranger to being one.
Truth, truth, the first time you've let someone know this and leave. She swallows heavily before she speaks again. We weren't sure at first. But I am. I was. We both were. and we would have never, ever come back if... Hannibal waits. I should have probably just let them kill her, she says bitterly. I don't think she's learned anything from the experience, or anything I'd want her to learn, anyway.
Your sister?
Yes. She murdered my lover because she thought it would please the master. But it turns out, you don't get to just do anything you want until you're actually a vampire. I saved her from the mob of villagers, and my mentor sent us back here. She speaks in a near monotone now, a dry recitation of facts that is no doubt easier than dragging in the weight of horror in the experience.
So you gave up your home of choice to save her. Were your actions met with gratitude or resentment?
He wonders, direly curious, what Jill might have told him about the scenario, were she also his patient.
Jack snorts.
She's forgotten what gratitude is.
Then, let's begin there.
The end. Author notes. There's someone up above me. There's someone scratching softly. Little monsters in the chimney, all black and stained with soot. Come creeping to my bedroom and lead me here to sleep.
Thank you for listening. This has been recorded for Boys Team's Mystery Box 2023 for the challenge Get Your Feet Wet, which is to podfic in a fandom you've never podficed before. I've never podficed either on Hannibal or I think Wayward Children series. I might have done something for ITP, I can't remember. But anyway. Yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed, and please remember to drink some water today.